Life Unrehearsed on CJAD 800. Brought to you by Marco Vendramini of IG Private Wealth Management. MarcoVendramini.com.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Life Unrehearsed, the show about the ins and outs of family life. So your life isn't going exactly as planned? Well, you're not alone, and we're here to help out. My name is Matt Delvecchio, specializing in life transitions, downsizing in the senior living industry.
And I'm Corey Sirota, clinical social worker and psychotherapist specializing in grief and loss.
Coming right up on the first half of today's show, there are very few people like Jason Finucane. He's battled bipolar disorder for the past 15 years, and now he's on a mission to put an end to the stigma surrounding mental illness. We'll wait till you hear his story. Corey, that's going to be coming right up. Can't wait to hear that. While we're... beautiful day today, and it happens to be a beautiful Father's Day, so we are going to take advantage to wish all the fathers out there a very happy Father's Day to the dads, the stepdads, granddads, and those dads who are no longer with us. We are thinking of you, and a special shout out to my own dad. Corey, how blessed are we to be able to wish our own dads on air on Life Unrehearsed? So Dad, happy Father's Day. You are the best.
And yes, Mr. Delvecchio, you're the best, but also Mr. Sirota, you're also the best. And Mr. Frankel, thank you for just putting up with me. Right. And for all the dads out there, no matter how you define dad, we want to wish you the best. And thank you so much for everything that you do for all of us.
Absolutely.
So let's make sure we acknowledge dads today, because that's what we're doing.
Yes, and happy Father's Day. What do we have coming up on the second half, Corey?
Well, on that note, on the second half, we're going to do the opposite of what we did for Mother's Day. We're going to have a very special dad in studio, my husband, Andy Frankel, along with putting you and Matt in the hot seat around talking about best and maybe some of not so best Father's Day advice that we've heard. We've heard already some texts come in, and we're opening up the lines for phone calls and additional texts about the best and the worst kinds of Father's Day advice that we've come up with and we've heard. So that's coming up after the 4:30 news.
I can't wait for that. Should be very, very interesting. All right. Now, Corey, believe it or not, Jason Finucane was our very first guest on Life Unrehearsed some 2.5 years, more than 100 shows ago. He's battled mental illness for much of his life, specifically bipolar disorder. Well, a lot has changed in his life since he was last on our show 2.5 years ago, and that's why we're so glad to have him back in studio to hear all about it, including his new book called Jason 1, Stigma 0. Jason, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It is hard to believe that I was on your very first show, and it doesn't seem like enough time has passed that many shows have been completed. Congrats to you guys on an amazing run.
No, thank you
very
much.
So much.
And thanks for being with us. You are an inspiration to us, an inspiration to many. And for those that don't know your story, we're going to go way back now. And before mental illness, you have a story when you were younger that was probably a little bit more physical, if we understand correctly. Can you tell us more about it?
Absolutely. I like to say that I actually began to learn about mental illness and stigma through the strangest way possible, through a heart defect that I had when I was 9 years old. It presented. And the symptoms were that my heart would race up to 200 beats per minute for sometimes 30 to 40 minutes at a time. And it happened out of the blue. We didn't know what was going on at first. It took a little while to be diagnosed. Now, where I was fortunate, as scary as it is to have a heart problem, I was fortunate that it was operable and they were able to fix it with open heart surgery, which I had at the Toronto Sick Kids Hospital in 1988. And so I had this massive health challenge at an early age. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be honest, after that was done, I viewed it as my big health scare for my life is over, and I'm just going to have a good, healthy run and enjoy myself. And I didn't think about my health really that much for the next 15 years or so.
Okay. Wow. And then?
Then I was 26 years old, and I experienced for the very first time in my life a clinical depressive episode. And at the time, I would not have been able to say those words to you because I didn't know what it was. All I knew was I felt terrible and had extremely low energy, mental and physical energy, and felt almost like I had a flu, like I was achy and everything was suddenly difficult. And it lasted for 2.5, 3 months straight.
Wow.
That was my entrance into the symptoms of what would later be diagnosed as bipolar disorder.
Very interesting. Jason Finucane talking to us about his battles with mental illness and fighting the stigma. And so let's tie in the two, because the physical illness, the way you approach this is quite interesting, because we approach that differently, the public in general versus mental illness. So how did that, your physical illness, sway your opinion?
Absolutely. So when I first began to experience the symptoms of bipolar, I fell into the trap of the stigma that I now can say, or, you know, several years ago can say that I finally beat. I believed for a long time that mental illness was a character flaw. I believed that it was, if someone was depressed, it was because they weren't trying hard enough. I really believed, and I look back on it, I think, oh my gosh, that was such a terrible thing to think, but I didn't.
That's probably how many, the vast majority of the
unfortunately,
population thought. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And the way I got out of that frame of mind was to compare how I was reacting to the symptoms of my new illness, bipolar, compared to the heart defect I had when I was a kid. Now, when I was a kid, I never once felt guilt or shame or fear of what other people would think. I never had to worry about judgment. There was no stigma, of course.
You have a heart defect.
A little boy with a heart defect. Exactly. But here I was with a new illness, and it occurred to me that, wait a minute, your heart is just a hunk of meat in your chest, and your brain is a hunk of meat in your skull. Mm-hmm. Both of them didn't work very well for me, but the reaction to the second one was so different. And it was the stigma, worse than the illness. The stigma made my life really terrible for almost 2 years. And it wasn't until I stopped viewing mental illness as something shameful that I just simply treated it as, this is a medical condition.
Right.
Let's figure out what I have to do to manage it. And from that moment forward was when I began to live very well and find treatment and find some success with it.
So it's incredible. And what a beautiful and such an important reframe. I need to stop and say, can you please explain what bipolar is?
Ah, yes. Very good question. It's important. So bipolar disorder is an illness, a mental illness that used to be called manic depressive disorder. It was renamed bipolar disorder several years ago. And essentially, it's an illness that takes you in both directions. For some individuals like me, it takes you, for example, down into mild, moderate, or severe depression for long periods of time. And then you might go up into what's called hypomania, which is a mild mania. It's like an elevated state of energy and creativity that sounds good, but it's not, because it's not sustainable. And the highest end of the manic spectrum is a manic episode, which is extremely difficult to go through, and it's very dangerous as well. So bipolar is really tricky because you can bounce back and forth. And there are individuals who have bipolar disorder who experience in one day, they might be low and then high. For me, it was more like low for 2 months, high for 2 months. It was back and forth like that.
So going back when you were first diagnosed, you're talking mid to late 20s, correct?
I was 26 when the symptoms began. It was 2005 when I was actually diagnosed
so
officially.
So you were at what age at that point?
I was almost 30.
30, okay. Yeah. You knew something was going on. It must be a shock to the system. So at 30, you know, how did you first react?
The truth was that by the time I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, I was in a mental hospital in a psychiatric hospital in Ontario because I had had a manic episode. So I had experienced 6 days of nonstop torrential energy, did not sleep a wink for 6 days, and then my family had to intervene and get me in the hospital. So getting the diagnosis in a way came at a low point, but it also was the first step forward.
And speaking of your family, we want to hear about, I know there's a very special story connected to your dad, so we have to take a quick traffic break, but when we come back, we're going to hear about Jason Finucane's story around his dad and bipolar illness.
Live Fun Rehearsed on CJAD 800. Brought to you by Marco Vendramini of IG Private Wealth Management.
Oh,
MarcoVendramini.com.
I get so excited. I see a red door and I want it painted black. Welcome back to Life Unrehearsed. I'm Corey Sirota with my co-host Matt Delvecchio, and we are talking to Jason Finucane, author of Jason 1, Stigma 0, and his fight to end the stigma surrounding mental illness. Speaking of your book, Jason, you talk about your dad in your book and how he has been a huge influence on you. Can you tell us that story?
Absolutely. And happy Father's Day to Dad. He and I have been super close my whole life. He's always been a role model and a mentor and a friend. He's really very much like a friend to me. Mm-hmm. And this is the strangest thing about mental illness. When I was in my manic episode, I wasn't that angry. I was more just intense and couldn't stop. I had too much energy. But I had 3 blow-ups at my father. And when I looked back on it after the fact, I was like, I've never been mad at my dad. I've never had any reason to be mad at my dad. But yet he's the one that took the brunt of whatever anger that came out of me during my manic episode. And that was always something that bothered me. It's like, why did that even happen? It made no sense. But he was so gracious and so loving, and he never judged me. He always knew that this person yelling at him was not his son, Jason. It was something was wrong. He knew I was sick, and he treated it that way. And my dad is someone who has never really had any stigma towards my mental illness, which I'm extremely grateful for. And I did want to give him that shout out today. So happy Father's Day, Dad.
So nice. Aww. How's that for a tribute? Mr. Yeah. Finucane, you're the man. Good shout out and happy Father's Day to you. Now, Jason, just going back in time, if we get our time frame perspective, your diagnosis was about 14, 15 years ago. And I don't even know how to word this question properly. So tell me if I'm doing right. Do you still have bipolar disorder? And if so, how is it treated?
Absolutely. So the answer to the question, do I still have it, is yes. Unfortunately, mental illnesses are essentially chronic. It's something that once you have, you likely will experience on some level for the rest of your lives. Now, it can diminish over time. There are people, and I may be one of them, whom as time goes on, the symptoms get less and less and less. But as for treatment, my illness was so severe that there was not even an option. I needed medical treatment. And in 2005, when I was diagnosed, I began taking a medication called lithium. And lithium worked brilliantly for me for almost 7 years straight. It prevented absolutely any of the up side of the spectrum. I had zero hypomania, not even close to a manic episode. And most of the depressions were gone as well, which was amazing. Wow. The depressions did start to come back in 2011, 12, 13. So I had to add a second medication, mm-hmm. which is escitalopram. I think the brand name is Cipralex. Mm-hmm. And it's an antidepressant that works with lithium, and it works well for people who are bipolar. Because some antidepressants can push people into a manic episode if they're bipolar.
Right.
But this one is extremely effective. And at this point now, I live each year for the last, since 2014 when I was put on that medication, I've only had a few short-lived depressive episodes that I would describe as mild. And by short-lived, I mean 3 to 5 days. So it is very manageable for me, and I'm able to live very well like that.
And so when it's coming up, when you're feeling it, you know, you sense, and and what happens when you're in it?
So great question. I don't have any warning. So for me, it is either it hits during the day, but most of the time I wake up and I feel it. And what I feel is, even though I've had a great rest, you know, 7-8 hours of sleep, I wake up and I feel bone crunchingly tired. Mm-hmm. It's always for me very physical, and my mental acuity is dulled. So this interview, this conversation that we're having, I could have it while mildly depressed, but I would be working a lot harder behind the scenes just to keep up. And I probably would sound a little less animated, a little less passionate, because it does affect that. So while you're in it, frankly, it's not a good place to be. It's not fun. You're really not getting a lot of pleasure out of anything. But what saves me is I'm lucky enough to know that they're probably going to be short-lived. And so knowing it's 3 to 5 days, it's almost like when you get the flu. Nobody likes having it, but we all know it's not going to last forever.
It's so interesting. You know, yeah. Jason Finucane talking about his battle with bipolar disorder, and more importantly, now fighting the stigma surrounding mental illness. And you just came out with a wonderful book. Love the title, called Jason 1, Stigma 0. And so you need to explain the title, because I think it's very revealing of what you're trying to accomplish in this book.
Yeah, I would never suggest that it's Jason 1 Mental Illness 0 or Jason 1 Bipolar 0, because I have not and will not conquer mental illness. I manage mental illness.
Right.
I live with it very well, but I don't conquer it. But stigma, I beat stigma. I don't have any anymore, and I know how to help others to get rid of their own stigmas. And that's what got me into the mindset of wanting to speak out and to tell my story, share my story, try to help others, and ultimately to found my company, Stigma Zero, to try to help employers to eliminate the stigma that is in their workplaces.
So incredible. I can you like just shout it from the rooftops, because we need so much more of this everywhere. Like, how do we do this everywhere? So where have you been speaking?
Oh, I've been fortunate enough to have several radio interviews. I was on Breakfast Television recently, which was great, all because of the book. Mm-hmm. I've also spoken for events related to the Jewish General Hospital, which was really wonderful. They did a symposium on mental health awareness, and I was the keynote speaker there. And the other thing that we did with Stigma Zero is we created an online training program mm-hmm. for employers, and we went online with it. I'm still available to speak in person, and I'm love to do it. But the truth is, I can only go to so many places at once. And if you're a company with thousands of employees, it's very difficult to train them all when one person is delivering that. So we made this an online program, very comprehensive, that companies can purchase like a subscription, and their employees, managers, and HR and senior leaders can take this program. And it is called Create Your Stigma Zero Workplace. It helps companies to do that.
That's Jason Finucane talking to us about ending the stigma. And, you know, Jason, you are on a roll, and we want to personally congratulate you. Keep it going, especially in the workplace. You know, it has to start with our own personal lives, mm-hmm. but so much of it is in the workplace. Stigma Zero is tackling that. So thank you for being with us on Life Unrehearsed, Jason. How can people, first of all, talk about or get the book, Jason 1, Stigma Zero, and then tell us about Stigma Zero as well?
Thank you very much. So, look, it's great to be here. I'm so happy to rejoin your show after so many episodes. To get the book, it's on all the major retailers. The easiest place to get it is to go to stigmazero.com/book, and there are links to Friesen Press, Amazon, Audible, etc. Mm-hmm. You can get it in all those places. And I do encourage you to check out the book if you know anyone in your life who's going through this, or if you are yourself. I believe it can help. And as for Stigma Zero, while you're there at stigmazero.com, all the information about our online program is available, and we are available to answer any questions if you're interested. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jason. It's such a treat to chat with you and get this word out. Coming up on Life Unrehearsed, second half, it's our Father's Day special. We're interviewing my special father, or my special spouse, Andy Frankel. And we want to hear from you, though, about what your best and worst fatherly words of advice have been or are. Please call us at 514-790-0800 or text us at 514-800. We'll hear all of them after the news.
Life Unrehearsed on CJAD 800. Brought to you by Marco Vendramini of IG Private Wealth Management. MarcoVendramini.com.
And welcome back to Life Unrehearsed. What dads don't like Piano Man Billy Joel? That's why we have that there. My name is Matt Delvecchio, specializing in life transitions, downsizing in the senior living industry.
And I'm Corey Sirota, clinical social worker and psychotherapist specializing in grief and loss. Matt, what are you doing tonight for Father's Day?
Well, you know, Corey, as we are live on the radio here. So what I did with our family, and I'm very fortunate to have Dad over and my wife Stephanie's dad over last night. So we did a Father's Day barbecue over at my house and had all the kids and girlfriends. And it was a wonderful time. And I tell you, in the business that we're in, both you and I, Corey, we are so blessed to be able to still celebrate Father's Day like this. And we cherish every moment.
That's no question about it.
What about you?
So we're lucky. If anybody's looking Facebook Live, I'm a little formal right now because we're running to a wedding. So I want to wish Mazel Tov to the Ryder and Rainish families, because we're going to a wedding of their children who are wonderful Camp Aaron volunteers. So I'm so excited. The whole family is, quite frankly. And what's nice is they're getting married on Father's Day. So I have to tell you, and it's very funny to have Andy in the studio with us.
So just to mention that, when you say we, not you and me, Andy, your husband, right?
<That's> right.
For our listeners that aren't watching on
That's
Facebook,
right.
Andy is in studio with
That's
us today.
Right. So Andy and I, Wednesday, June 19th, is going to be 31 years that Andy and I are married. And so 1988, we also got married on Father's Day.
We did.
And so we felt that given that we were getting married on Father's Day, we should do something to honor Father's Day. So I came up with this idea. Now, remember, we're going 31 years ago, that we would order a singing telegram to the synagogue where we were getting married, and it would be a big surprise. And we got a themed singing telegram.
So tell me you didn't get Elvis.
No, well, we probably tried. But
Dolly 5060.
Dolly 5060, this person was called. So it was quite late. We thought the person wasn't going to show up. And then this woman shows up who's supposed to look like Dolly Parton. So you can imagine what the 5060 would represent. It was anatomically enhanced certain parts of her body. And she comes with two huge things of balloons to hand to both my father and my father-in-law. So they're standing there. They don't know what's going on. And she came so late. And she shows up, and the two of them are holding the balloons. And then she proceeds to start to talk. She doesn't speak English. So it's hilarious because she's trying in her best whatever language it was to basically say Happy Father's Day. And here they are, the two of them standing there. They don't know what's going on. Nobody knows what's going on. And then she proceeds to sing.
She sings Happy Father's Day to the tune of Happy Birthday.
No, she starts off Happy Birthday.
Oh,
she
said, that's right.
It was hilarious. It was an epic fail. The intent was good, of course, but that was what we did for Father's Day in 1988.
And the videographer couldn't decide whether he should keep it in the video or out. And so he decided to leave it in. He said you could always fast forward over it.
Yeah.
which is smart. So an epic fail from a Dolly Parton wannabe.
Right.
But every Father's Day you have something to remember. So we've already opened up the lines, 514-790-0800 and text us at 514-800. We want to hear the best Father's Day advice or best advice or worst advice
you ever
that
received.
You received. And in fact, I'm going to I'm going to read a first quick one here, Corey.
Yeah.
This comes from Stephanie. My dad offered us the world. This was kind of his advice, I guess. Literally, we were fortunate to travel the world with him in remote countries with very different cultures, religions, and socioeconomic conditions. He always told us to watch, listen, learn and respect. My sister and I are now two adults with great respect for others. We are so happy to still have them with us. Happy Father's Day, Charlie. So, Stephanie, thank you for texting us in. Interesting words of advice. Always told us to watch, listen, learn, and respect. Yeah. So true.
Wonderful. So let me ask you guys. I'd like to know. Well, first, I'm going to direct it to Andy. How did it feel when you first became a dad?
Well, I was elated. I mean, when both our daughters were born, it was unbelievable, fantastic, obviously tiring, of course, at the beginning. But it's the feeling of unconditional love is just unbelievable. And over time, as I've seen them, you know, grow and develop into wonderful young women, this tremendous sense of pride.
Mm-hmm. Nothing makes you so humble as your kids, eh?
Yep.
It's really something. Matt, what about you? What's the most challenging part of being a dad?
It's an interesting question because that you could ask that question through different phases of your child's life.
Okay.
And if I look back, probably the most challenging part was managing work-life balance. It was in the corporate world. And it's not the same these days, right, Corey, from when we were kids where, you know, now you've got the plays and the karate and the hockey. It's nonstop. And there's this guilt from parents sometimes that they can't get to every one of those plays. And so I always struggled with that. However, now the kids are grown up. My son is starting university next year. It flies by, everyone.
Right.
And I know I'm speaking to a lot of people who already know that. But for those dads out there struggling with work-life balance, you can't do it all. It's impossible to see everything. But make the effort to try to, because I know my son recognizes when I was there for that particular event. And it's important to them just to understand you just can't do it all.
I would absolutely agree. I feel the same way. And, you know, the days crawl and the years fly. It's always tough to find the time. But in hindsight, you look back and you don't get that time back. So you've got to spend it.
Yeah, it goes far too quick. Life is far too short.
That's right. That's right. Oh, well, thank you. Okay. Good answers. Good answers. So again, another question. We're sitting with Matt and Andy Frankel, and we're talking about Father's Day. Best advice, experiences, what it's like, new and challenging experiences. So here's my next question to both of you. How different is your parenting style than your dad's?
I'm going to start there. And, my dad, old school Italian, all right?
Okay.
It's funny. I try that deep voice and the evil look with my kids. It doesn't work. When he spoke or when he gave me the look, could be damn sure that my sisters, my brother and I, we ran to whatever we had to go to.
Right.
It's amazing, you know. So, but, in this politically correct world with our kids and upbringing, we have to approach things a little differently. So I think dads today, I don't want to say they're a little softer, but they have to approach things a lot different than dads in our past have.
Okay. What about you, Andy?
I would say that, back then, dads were maybe less involved sort of on a day-to-day basis. My dad worked like 5.5-6 days a week. He wasn't around as much. We still had a relationship, but he wasn't as involved in the child rearing and so on and so forth. But at the same time, I think that, he instilled a set of values into me, and I like to think that I try to replicate that with my own children, to instill strong values, honesty, integrity, communication, being your best self, and those are things that my dad gave to me, and I'm trying to pass them on to my kids.
Yeah, I think it's so true, and I would concur with that. It's style is different.
Yeah. Values. What are some of the values?
Absolutely. From my dad's perspective, and Andy, you're right on. I think that generation, dads were primarily the breadwinners much of the time, and they just weren't around as much. They were working, and mom was usually taking care of the kids. But in my case, for my dad, certainly he is a passionate man. He's a hardworking man, led by example, a real motivator in life and individually and in business, as a football coach. So certainly that was very, very important to him.
Such great advice and some feedback from both Matt Delvecchio and Andy Frankel on being dads on Father's Day and what that means. Now we have to head out for a traffic update, but I understand that when we come back, Matt has a hilarious story about his dad fixing the passenger seat in his car.
That's right.
We're going to hear that right after we take a quick traffic update.
Live Fun Rehearsed on CJAD 800. Brought to you by Marco Vendramini of IG Private Wealth Management. MarcoVendramini.com.
You're my backbone. You're my cornerstone. You're my crutch when my legs stop moving.
Welcome back to Life Unrehearsed. I'm Corey Sirota with my co-host Matt Delvecchio, and we are celebrating Father's Day by listening to your texts, your phone calls, and your words of wisdom on your best and worst fatherly advice. I have my husband Andy Frankel in studio, and I'm putting Matt Delvecchio on the hot seat as well. But we want to hear from you as well. Please call us with 514-790-0800 or text us at 514-800 with your best or worst Father's Day advice. Before we went out for traffic, I alluded to Matt telling us a story about his dad fixing a passenger seat in the car. What's that about?
Oh, boy, yeah. This was my mom's car way back in the 70s. And my dad had always instilled on all his kids, you need to work hard, get educated. You need to make money because you can't be the best at everything. And you may need to outsource or get services from
him. Okay.
But this was probably instilled on him as well, because I think I take the same renovation and Mr. Fix-It habits as my dad, which wasn't very much.
Right.
But we had a problem with the passenger seat of my mom's car. So you remember Herbie the Love Bug, one of those ones, Volkswagen, the old Volkswagen Beetles, in the 70s now picture. So he says, I'm going outside to fix it. So, kids are watching TV. I'm maybe 8 years old at the time. About 20 minutes later, my dad comes in and says, the passenger seat is fixed. With a voice like that. It's like, oh my goodness. Okay, great. Yeah. I'm pretty impressed. My dad just fixed the car. Right. Seat. So we all run outside. Isn't the entire passenger seat sitting on the front lawn out of the car with a pot of flowers on it?
Oh,
honey, your car seat is fixed.
Yeah.
He got so frustrated. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
A football player ripped the seat out of the car.
Oh,
so you literally
God.
See the bottom of the pavement. Yeah. We put a piece of plywood there. For the next 2 years, we had that car with that piece of plywood. You've seen us going into Steinberg's to pick up the groceries and the takeout right there.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah, get educated so maybe you can get the right person to fix
those
car seats.
That's right. So, educated enough to know what the phone number is to the person who can fix the car.
Dad, we love you.
Good on you for trying. You know, A for effort. There you go. So, thank you for sharing that. We did get some other texts, and I wanted to share some of them with you. Carlo wrote in. He said that occasionally his dad has passed away, so he said that sometimes he'll think about something he wants to share with his dad, and then he'll want to tell him. He'll say, "Okay, I'm going to tell you the next time I see you," and then he realizes that his dad is no longer alive. And so he said it's in those little seconds that I'm reminded that I still feel his love and his presence.
Yeah, way to go, Carlo. Thank you for sending in that text. We had a text earlier on there, Corey. I'm going to read it. My dad taught me that the line, "If you tell me the truth, I won't get mad," was absolutely false.
There you go. There you go, and there you have it. Yeah, how many of those dad stories? It reminds me of Steve Martin in the movie he was in where he's trying to learn how to – I don't remember what it was called, but it was a very cute movie where he also tried to – listen to something very difficult from his daughter without
Cheaper
having a reaction.
Dozen,
no, it was another one. It'll come to me. Okay, other questions. I wanted to ask you guys what would you tell your younger self?
So, I think I said it earlier. Really, it's, spend the time because the time passes so quickly and be involved because that's what your children are going to remember, later on, that you were involved, that you were there at their events, and that you had meaningful conversations with them, not just that you were physically there, but, you were there, completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's so true. You know, and telling my younger self is a good question, Corey, and also, which would amount to the same advice that probably I would give to new dads right now.
Right.
We're in a society where perhaps there's a little bit too much helicopter parenting. Mm-hmm. We're hovering over them. And I would probably tell my younger self, let them grow up. Uh-huh. Let the kids grow up. Yeah, let them make their mistakes. You've got to guide them. You got to support them. But they're going to fall down every now and then, and let them grow up. And I think it's just a way to get some thicker skin on them because a lot of kids these days, I think, are a little too thin-skinned.
Right.
You've got to let them grow.
Thank
Absolutely.
You. Great words of wisdom. We got another text. My dad taught me if it is too good to be true, it probably is. Well, that's something I think we need to know. Speaking of new dads, Matt, a new dad wrote in that although it's exhausting at times, her smile, referring to the baby, I'm assuming, makes up for it. That's so lovely. And I must say Paula wrote in and said, my kids are the best. Their sense of humor is amazing. They now call me their mad, as I am their mom and dad. So she gets mad gifts today.
That is really, really interesting and good on you. Tough times and makes a lot of sense. Mom and dad gifts. Just while we're at it, very, very quickly, we're running out of time here. But we, Corey, we found this online and we talk about the top 10 gifts that dads get. And I have to say my gift last night was so perfect. The ties and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my favorite chips, my favorite chocolate bar, and it was all in just junk, just comfort food, all in a Montreal Canadiens bag. So to me, that was a great gift, Would you believe, top 10 gifts, we're not going to go over top 10, mm-hmm. but number one on the list was by 47%, a phone call from the kids. Which makes
there
sense.
You go.
Okay, top 10 gifts. Do you have that
list
in front of you?
Yeah. A big juicy steak.
That was number two. This one I could certainly relate to. How about a little peace and quiet for dad?
There you go.
Three.
What does that even mean, right, Ed? What does that even mean?
Yep.
Yeah. No, there's a number of – I think the take-home message here is to send out to all of you dads out there a hearty, heartfelt thank you. Have the best Father's Day ever. Thanks for joining us today on this special occasion. And just keep doing what you're doing because we're so grateful to have you in our lives.
And we are. Happy Father's Day, everyone. Now, Corey, what do we have coming up on next week?
Next week on Life Unrehearsed, we're going to be talking to Sharon Bronstein about her life after widowhood.
And we've got Shoshana Kame, and she'll be sharing some tips and advice as to how she's dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder. We hear a lot about PTSD, mm-hmm. Corey, and Shoshana is someone very, very special. Looking forward to having her on the show next week, where you can catch us on Life on Rehearse every Sunday at 4 p.m. here on CJD 800.